you doing?
Hey, let me ask you a question. You gotten anything for your dad for Father's Day yet?
Oh, balls.
Yeah, I totally forgot, too.
No, I mean I got him Oh Balls soap. Bubble Genius makes soap that look like golf balls and smell like fresh-cut grass. In metal buckets.
Get out of town. He's crazy for the golf.
And it comes in 3 sizes. I'm getting my dad the large.
Do they have extra large?
Don't forget your dad this Father's Day. Bubble Genius has balls and more for the first man in your life.
BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
I bet daily friendship with that bottle attracts more people to advertising than any salary you could dream of.
That's why I got in.
So enjoy it.
Doing my best here.
Oh, you're not. You don't know how to drink, your whole generation. You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
What about shaky hands? I see a lot of that too with you boys.
No joke. Your kind with your gloomy thoughts and your worries, you're all busy licking some imaginary wound.
Not all imaginary.
Yeah, boo-hoo.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Radio goes with life. A salt and pepper, a fork and knife. Radio goes with life.
Good evening, I'm Joe Franklin. We're coming to you, as always, by our good friends and sponsors, beverages by Hoffman, Martin Paints, it ain't just paints, Matzahs by Streitz for the unleavened experience of a lifetime, and welcoming a new product from a celebrity superstar. This is Raymond Burr's Nipple Rouge.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It's Thursday, May the 31st, 2012, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. We're brought to you, as always, by Matzahs by Streitz for the unleavened experience of a lifetime, my friends. Raymond Burr's Nipple Rouge. BubbleGenius.com is our sponsor. Pure product, pure genius, Bubble Genius, my friends.
Did the Bubble Genius girls just do a commercial that referenced their father's balls and the size of them?
I think they did.
That's kind of creepy. My job on the show, again, is to just point out the incredibly obvious. That's really freaking creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got something good lined up for this show, and then running over into the after party. And
if Dad's balls made you think of it, I can't even imagine what it is.
Well, no, I'm just there's something that I'm going to play on the after party at the very top of the after party. Where if you want to subscribe, it's $6 a month. Go to BobSeska.com, click the after party link at the top of the page, and you can subscribe. It's quick and easy and inexpensive and all of that crap. There's an observation I'm going to make at the top of the after party that directly pertains to you. And I'll just put it this way.
It pertains to me?
Yes. I've discovered your cartoon alter ego. And it's not Bugs Bunny.
That's too bad. I always wanted to be Bugs Bunny.
It's uncanny. I discovered it as I was listening to finding the Joe Franklin clip for the top of the show from SNL, from that classic 1984 season, which is probably my favorite SNL season.
Oh, if you say I'll kill you.
Shut up! Yeah, I wrote it. No, it's not. Oh, damn it, you.
I blew your joke.
No, I'm just, you blew the tease.
Fine, whatever.
Well, I'm going to bleep it. I'll bleep the reveal. You idiot. Anyway, so you know what? We do have a colossal show today. We're also brought to you, unofficially brought to you by Full Strength, fullstrength.com. It's my favorite fitness shake. It's a meal replacement shake. It's a protein shake. Fullstrength.com. We got a lot of things to talk about on the show this week, by way of politics, of course. And as always, what we don't get to on this show, and there are a lot of things this week, What we don't get to, that'll bleed over into the after party. So if you're not a subscriber to the after party, you're going to miss out on a big chunk of the stuff that we had planned to talk about on this show. We can only squeeze enough material into an hour program. Make that part of your schedule this week or this weekend to subscribe to the after party. It's good and good for you.
Excellent. Just like a protein shake. It's a protein shake for your mind.
Yes, that's right. I want to start off, and I'm thinking this is a good place to start off because I know we both wrote about it this week, and we've both been paying attention to it this week, that Fox News Channel agitprop propaganda hunk of crap video that they ran during Fox and Friends. You know, and I was thinking about, well, maybe I could play it, but there's not
I can't even call it. You know, it's funny. When the thing that I wrote, I was very close to calling it agitprop. It's not even agitprop. It's just pure propaganda.
Yeah.
Agitprop at least existed sort of under the rubric, under the guise of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. This wasn't supposed to be entertainment. This is supposed to be news, and it was anything but.
Mainly, it turned out to be a pitch for Mitt Romney. I mean, or a pitch against the president. And so it was like this over the top, overproduced. I mean, we've played these clips on the show before. These commercials that sound like Michael Bay movie trailers. That's kind of what this was.
Yeah. It had the Carmina Burana music playing in the background, and yeah.
I mean, it was this apocalyptic view of the world in 2012, or of the United States. And, of course, the one thing I focused on was the big computer graphic representing the national debt, which, you know what, I've had a lot of things to say about the deficit and the debt.
You've turned that into, like, the Twilight series.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's every time I turn around, it's like Harry Potter. Every time I turn around, there's a new book.
I've kind of pinpointed, though, the fact that this is kind of the centerpiece of the Republican disconnect with reality. This is the area where they're lying the most. And it has everything to do with the deficit, has everything to do with the economy and fiscal policy. It is so far removed from reality that it cannot be contained within one piece. You have to make it into a series, because as soon as you tackle this one area, then another area pops up and you have to dive in and you have to refute them on that and debunk these other claims. And so it becomes this perpetual motion machine of nonsense where, you know, the truth is so readily available. It's so verified by math, by basic math and verifiable economic theory, that you wonder, well, they're making it up. They're making everything up. Everything they're saying is really a lie. And it's also in addition to being full of lies, it's also this weird view of reality and how things function. And this Fox News thing had that dynamic to it. It had these big computer graphic CG animations of the national debt and said, you know, in 2009, it was at $10 trillion, and in 2012, it's at, 15.5 trillion or something like that. You know, we went for years where it was always like the national debt was always like this thing that, you know, we would see the digital sign in Manhattan and it would be the debt clock and it was always going and it was this long string of numbers. And we always looked at it and said, that's kind of crappy. I don't really like that. But, you know, we move on. But now, since Barack Obama became president, the national debt has taken on level of importance that goes beyond the deficit. It goes beyond the economy. It goes beyond all of these other things where it's like the tail wagging the dog, so to speak, where everyone is so focused on the debt. And mainly it's conservatives and Republicans who are bringing this number up because it's a big number.
Right. And they give a crap about it now where they never gave a crap about it. They don't give a crap about it when there's a Republican in office. I mean,
that's right. What we have seen is we've seen Republican presidents rack up phenomenal amounts of debt as well. I mean, we talked about this last week where when George W. Bush came in, the debt was starting to flatline. come down a little bit. And then, you know, all of the things that, that are driving the debt right now, the Bush tax cuts, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the recession, all of these measures are driving the massive debts that we see. You don't just come into office and suddenly the debt just goes up by a third in a vacuum. It just doesn't happen like that. These are, or at least not now. These are things that the previous president did that are now impacting the current president. And so this is, that's another area they're missing. So when they, so when Fox News Channel puts up those two numbers, you know what? Those numbers are exactly right in this ridiculous propaganda video. Those numbers are correct. But what they don't say is why. They don't say what's causing those numbers to occur. They're just saying, you know, they're just making this very vague
ad hoc or go propter hoc.
Yeah, right. So that's the kind of argument that they're making, that because the president is the president and we see these numbers, they're correlating the two. So Barack Obama becomes elected, therefore the debt goes through the ceiling. Oh, why? Because he's a big spending liberal.
That's right. And whatever's going on right now, they can hang it around his neck. That's the way they think about everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you're, like you said, it doesn't matter what the true cause is. It doesn't matter that speculation, more so than anything else, causes spiking spikes in gas prices. It just matters that it happens on Obama's watch.
Well, what we know is we know that speculation, Wall Street speculation and the like, you know, drives high gas prices. It's all about the price of oil, and the price of oil is kind of rises and falls like any stock that you would buy in the stock market. And that's when we have high gas prices.
Yeah, it is, because it also has to do with hoarding those shares.
Yeah.
In an effort to drive things up.
Of course. And so, I mean, but these are just a couple of the items in this Fox News video.
Yeah, it caught me off guard because even I wasn't sure that Fox, you know, is willing to put themselves, to put their, the tiny, tiny, tiny half a shred of journalistic credibility that they try to hang on to, that they were willing to put that sort of on the chopping block. But, you know, crap, boy, did they. Big time. And it is, you're right, it's sort of shocking and surprising just for that reason. Even from Fox, this is shameless. I mean, it's beyond shameless.
It really is.
And it's, you know, and my biggest concern and the thing that I wrote about, you know, I'm over being freaked out by stuff that Fox does. And obviously, you know, you and I have talked about this so much. My recent columns have all taken on the tone of like just futility, that, you know, I just feel that there's very little I can do. And at the very top of that list of things that I know I can't do a damn thing about, complaining about Fox is right there, you know, because we all know that Fox is essentially the propaganda wing of the Republican Party, period. It really goes without saying. There are some great journalists working at Fox. There really are, you know, and there's some good people working behind the scenes. And, you know, there are a couple of the Shep Smiths of the world who do a fine job on the network. But for the most part, top down, there is an agenda to what they do. And that's all there is to it. And you cannot argue with it. My argument, the thing that really surprised me the most, and this also shouldn't surprise me because Fox does this kind of crap all the time, but this one was so ballsy and so audacious that I actually, you know, this was sort of the main thrust of the piece that I wrote, was the way they handled the sort of backlash to this piece. You know, it wasn't a surprise really that they didn't cop to it, you know, that they're still maintaining the we're a journalistic organization and we're fair and balanced crap. Mm-hmm. Because they're never really going to – I don't think they're ever going to admit to what they are. They're just – I don't think it's going to happen. But to blame a four-minute-long piece that ran multiple times in one of the most watched and popular, you know, one of the most watched, the highest rated, the most high-profile shows on your network, to blame that on an associate producer, which is what they did.
Yeah.
You know, Fox News executive says, oh, you know what? It was the work of an associate producer. It was unauthorized and, you know, we're dealing with it. It is such it's a taunt. It's a pardon me, but it's a f- you to Fox's critics. It's such an insult to the intelligence of the people who are indignant over this, such an insult to our intelligence that it really is nothing other than a gigantic screw you.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it is a dare. It's a sticking out of a tongue and saying, we're going to lie to you so brashly. We're going to tell you something so absolutely impossible to believe, something so ludicrous that, you know, and we can do it. We're going to do it just because we can, because we can get away with it, because there isn't crap you can do about it. There's no freaking way in the world. You know, the example that I used was I think the analogy that I used was, you know, blaming an AP, an associate producer. An associate producer is like generally a kid, you know, sometimes a little bit older, but for the most part, like, you know, just out of college types. Blaming an AP for a 4-minute long package that aired that many times on this show, on Fox and Friends, that's like McDonald's firing some kid who works like as a fry cook because the company's latest global ad campaign bombed.
Yeah.
It's such a comical conceit to pin it all on somebody that low on the food chain.
Well, what's worse is, and a similar dynamic here, is that this is the kind of thing they do. I mean, to think that for a second some AP did this in a vacuum is ridiculous. What Fox News does, and this is their MO, they release some heinous, horrendous piece of crap, lie, video, what have you, a news story, a suggestive headline where they say Osama when they met Obama or something like that, and then they retract it later.
Right.
But it's all deliberate. It's not like there's some guy who's like, oh, well, O and an S are different. Oh, there's different words, different names. I'll just put it's not some guy effing up.
It's like when a lawyer in court says something and the other attorney stands up and says, you know, I want that stricken from the record. It really doesn't make any difference. Yeah. It's already out there.
Yeah. And then the attorney who says it says, yeah, you can go ahead and strike that. You know,
right. They
say,
it doesn't matter. Exactly. Yeah, right. And you just hit it on the head. I mean, what this entire scenario, everything that's transpired over the past like 48 hours is classic Fox. Mm-hmm. They air something they know is awful. They know full well.
Yeah.
And then when they get called on it, they turn around and say, oh, accident. Or, well, you know, they don't even apologize, really. They just basically, you know, they pay a very, very minor amount of lip service. But usually that lip service is either a circling of the wagons and saying, we really, you know, we're dealing with it, butt out, which is what Fox tends to do. Yeah. Or, you know, it's rarely this much of a screw you. It's rare that they say something like, that just seems to have come out of a meeting where honestly somebody just said, why don't we tell them an AP did it? That'll be great.
No.
Oh my God, that'll be perfect. Yeah, an AP, sure. Why not? You know, I got an even better idea. The janitor screwed it up.
Yeah. Well, the line is, I think the maxim is, a lie travels halfway around the world before the truth can get its shoes on. And exactly. And that's the Fox News Channel business model. That's the Republican business model. That's the Romney campaign strategy. We got to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
We're back talking about that Fox News video and geez, I wish we could actually play it on the show, but we can't. It's not really radio friendly. It's just kind of noise.
Well, it's a Nat sound piece.
Yeah. There's lots of crazy graphics and apocalyptic imagery. And it starts out with the sort of the concern troll horse crap at the beginning with, you know, hope and change. And is this really hope and change? Which is that's the thing they've been talking about. That's the thing they've been hitting a lot for the last 4 years. They're really pumping that with the sarcasmo meter like off the charts.
And nobody does that better than that freaking smarmy little bastard Ducey.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, you know, I want to get down specifically to a couple of points on the deficit. And again, this is kind of the centerpiece of the doom and gloom, the insanity, the panic button thinking on the right, the way they're trying to frame the president as kind of driving America into being the next Greece, which is nowhere near. Anyone who says that, first of all, has no idea in terms of the the actual problems in Greece. They're just clueless. It's just, Greece becomes a meme. It's just, Greece is having fiscal problems, economic problems, so therefore it becomes a touchstone and a talking point for screeching. But most of the time, the way I see it, they just really don't have any idea what's actually happening in Greece. And if they did, they probably wouldn't make the comparison. But I cross-posted one of my deficit pieces from the Daily Banter over onto the Huffington Post yesterday, and what I noticed was I guess the centerpiece of it was this USA Today item that we talked about last week with the $5.6 trillion real, quote unquote, real deficit, and then how it dropped the next year to $5 trillion, which in fact means that the president cut the deficit even with these bogus real numbers. What I mentioned was, and I wrote another extended piece in the Daily Banter today that focuses more on this. But the fact of the matter is that government spending creates jobs. That's just that's a truism. We know this. When you spend money on projects, whether it's infrastructure, defense, or anything, jobs are created. Not always true if the government spending comes in the form of tax cuts, because as we've seen, we've got these Bush tax cuts that are still in place. We had a huge capital gains tax cut during the recession, and no jobs were created really out of that. And why is that? Well, first of all, the recession was gigantic. Second of all, businesses and rich people, when they get a tax cut, they don't always spend it. Most of the time, they sit on it. How do I know this? Well, in the case of a private industry right now, American companies, American corporations are sitting on a record stockpile of cash assets. Something like $2 trillion, highest number since 1959. And this is with tax cuts in place. This is with more Barack Obama tax cuts in place. And they're still sitting on huge record cash assets. They're just not spending the money. They're keeping their existing workers. They're double timing them. They're making them do more work for less pay because the workers have no other place to go. Okay? What are they going to do? Quit? Where are they going to find another job? They're not. So they're going to suck it up, and they're going to deal with more work for less pay. And so meanwhile, the corporations aren't hiring more people, or aren't as many people being hired. But all that said, there is still hiring going on. Why? Because the stimulus spending pumped life into the economy. I mean, the stimulus created jobs. And you never know it reading the comments over at the Huffington Post, the most conservative liberal website on the internet. Where you say, oh, the response I got over and over again was, what, government spending creates jobs? Where are all the jobs? Well, here are the jobs. A new Congressional Budget Office report estimates that the stimulus increased the number of people employed by between 200,000 and 1.5 million jobs in March alone. In other words, between 200,000 and 1.5 million people employed in March owed their jobs to the Recovery Act. This estimate by Congress's nonpartisan economic and budget analysts is more comprehensive than the 160,000 jobs that the stimulus recipients reported in April, the CBO explains. The stimulus's impact on jobs peaked in the third quarter of 2010 when up to 3.6 million people owed their jobs to the Recovery Act. This is direct government spending in the economy. And noting with an asterisk here that a big part of the stimulus was tax cuts. But the rest of it that actually spent money, that pumped, injected money into the economy when no one else was spending money in the economy, created millions and millions of jobs. Since then, the act's job impact has gradually declined as the economy recovers and certain provisions expire. And the money's starting to run out, in other words. More than 90% of stimulus funds were spent by March, according to the CBO. There are the jobs. You say, well, where are all the jobs? Well, there they are. There they are. And that's the direct impact of spending. I think that the president should have spent more. I think there should have been much more government spending. I think we would have seen a lower unemployment rate. I think we would have seen a more robust recovery. But with the spending that was done, there the unemployment rate did come down. It came down 2 whole percentage points. The job creation went from losing 800,000 jobs a month to gaining 200,000. I mean, that's a 1 million job a month turnaround. That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Sure.
So when you see those debt numbers, you know, blasting onto your screen in the Fox News video, it's, you know, there are certain things that drive that. You know, the debt, we know what has caused the debt. We know what has driven those numbers. And part of that has to do with recovery measures. It's a small part of it. But the recovery measures have actually seen some sort of return on an investment. A lot of things like extending unemployment benefits and extending food stamps and things like that. That kind of spending, every dollar that's spent on those sorts of things through stimulus and other programs sees like $1.50, $1.70 return on investment. Tax cuts, you know, you see a 30-cent return on investment for every dollar that's spent. It's a terrible investment. It's a miracle that Mitt Romney was a successful businessman, considering that his only thing is cutting taxes and then also cutting spending.
Right. Two things that don't go together.
Two things that don't, they don't go together, and they're not stimulative. They're not going to help the economy. He's certainly not going to get the unemployment numbers down to where he wants them to be. And, in fact, according to the Wall Street GD Journal, it's going to balloon the deficit and the debt far beyond where it is now. This is the Wall Street Journal is reporting this. Hardly a liberal bias there. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this chart here. You know, it's a famous job creation chart. You see it all over the internet, where you see all the red lines going down, 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 down. Those are representing the month by month job losses under George W. Bush. In January of 2009, the economy lost more than 800,000 jobs. More. So it looks like around 825,000 jobs were lost in January of 2009 alone. Is that Barack Obama's fault? I mean, he was only president for 10 days in January of 2009.
Of course it's his fault.
Of course it's his fault, right.
It's all his fault.
And then as soon as the stimulus was passed, the jobless number, and that was in March of 2009, jobless number was around 800,000 in March of 2009. It declined to 300,000 job losses the following month. And then the numbers slowly start to improve. And then suddenly jobs are being created every month. Every month. Without a hiccup. Jobs being created. Private sector jobs. Every month. There are the jobs. You know, this is indisputable. This is all math. You can look at the most nonpartisan sources in the world, factcheck.org, the Congressional Budget Office. All of these places verify it.
Yeah, but see, you're missing out on the fact that everything can be made political and everything can be made partisan. Mm-hmm. You know, if the math doesn't square with what you want to believe, with the bias that you need to have confirmed, you just lie or twist it around. It's that simple.
Sure. That's right.
Which is what we're watching.
Quick break for Bubble Genius. We'll be back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Go and buy some. Father's Day coming up, and there's some good Father's Day soapy products from Bubble Genius to pick up. Go to BubbleGenius.com. If for no other reason to laugh at their clever soap names. And then just buy a bunch of soap. And after the commercial, I'll give you a special promo code in which you can get a nice discount on your soap from BubbleGenius.com.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, let me ask you a question. You gotten anything for your dad for Father's Day yet?
Oh, balls.
Yeah, I totally forgot, too.
No, I mean I got him Oh Balls soap. Bubble Genius makes soap that look like golf balls and smell like fresh-cut grass. In metal buckets.
Get out of town. He's crazy for the golf.
And it comes in three sizes. I'm getting my dad the large.
Do they have extra large?
Don't forget your dad this Father's Day. Bubble Genius has balls and more for the first man in your life.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Here's that promo code. It's Bob and Chez, B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z. People who have been listening to the show for a long time understand what it is and will know it. But if you're new to the show, write it down when you go to BubbleGenius.com to buy some soap for gifts or yourself, because it'll make you feel good too. Make sure to put in that promo code and get 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com. So it's been an interesting week as far as homophobia goes.
Isn't it every week?
It's always an interesting week with homophobia. I want to start out with this bit of audio.
I have to admit that I've become a homophobe. I am. I'm terrified of Perez Hilton's new svelte physique.
Yeah, you know, it's funny with Perez.
That just frightens me.
It really
First of all, I hated him to begin with, and that had nothing at all to do with his sexuality. I just don't like him.
Yeah.
But now I'm actually scared of, like, you know, that six-pack abs thing he's doing now.
Well, it's like Al Roker. He's like the fat, thin guy. He's got the fat, thin guy look to him. And it's where, you know, a really fat guy loses a bunch of weight, and they might be totally ripped, but they still, around the face and neck, they still look like a fat guy.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? And that's what Perez Hilton looks like. He's like ripped beyond belief. He looks like Sean Phillips from Full Strength, in fact. But then his head, he's got this big pumpkin head.
There are so many protein shake jokes I can make there, and I will not.
And it was the same with Al Roker. He just got he lost all that weight from the gastric bypass, and then, you know, he's still got the big head, the big, you know, saggy, jowly head.
The giant saggy head.
It's this fat, thin guy. He's a fat, thin guy. It's a weird dynamic. There's a body type where you just want to say, look, you got the fat guy body type. Be the fat guy. Be the fat guy. Don't kill it.
How you've created a caste system for weight in this country. Look,
be the fat
guy. Just face it. You're a fat guy. Don't try to lose weight.
You know what?
Just accept the fat guy status.
Right. Let's just do it. I mean, you got the body. I mean, don't kill yourself. Don't overdo it and get diabetes and all that.
We're cast in the role of a fat guy in my little play. You know, my personal view of the world. You cannot change that. You can't get out of that.
Please do me a favor. Just if your body is like that, just be the fat guy. I'm kidding. So regarding. There's just quite a bit of sort of Christian conservative homophobia that's been documented over the last week or so.
Yeah, I've commented on it a little bit, but to be very honest, seeing you put up all of the comments kind of back to back today was really beyond shocking, actually.
I don't know if you heard this little kid, this audio tape of this little kid at a, you know, like an evangelical Southern church performing this song that he evidently made up, which is harrowing enough, but then the reaction is, well, it'll make your blood boil. And just try to follow along. I'll try to translate. It's weird camera phone sound, but try to follow along. I'll translate.
It's just going to anger me.
It really is going to, and I assure you it will. And here it is. He says, I know the Bible's right. I know the Bible's right. That's what he's saying.
It's great. Yeah.
He says, ain't no homo gonna make it to heaven. That's the lyric. And then the crowd goes wild.
Wild. Yeah, it's basically there's some idiot kid who is basically just continuing the cycle of stupidity, ignorance, hate, and everything else because his parents are freaking morons.
Mm-hmm. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there were women screaming like they were at a rock concert, and then the dumb yokel goes, yeah, idiot Gomer.
I mean, and where was that from? Let me guess, please. You don't even need to tell me.
Oh, yeah, take a guess. It was,
Tennessee, Virginia, Alabama.
Yeah.
What?
It was where? it was in that Kansas. Range of.
The only thing it tells me is that a substantial portion of this country needs to be nuked for morbid. It's the only way to be sure, to quote the movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know what? What's strange about that is that these guys are saying similar things, and shockingly so. I mean, I'm not exaggerating here. I mean, there are various pastors, Christian pastors, across the country who are saying these things. I mean, in North Carolina, pastor argues for a gay concentration camp. Charles Worley told his congregation, have that fence electrified so the homosexuals can't get out. Feed them, and you know what? In a few years, they'll die out. You know why? They can't reproduce.
No, but that's not true. See, because when you and I have discussed this before, they're actually the ones who are dying out. They really are. I mean, I get that the little kid is kind of would kind of seem to be proof that that certainly the hate is recycling, and it will. It will. But after a while, at some point, I believe it's going to take forever, but things will change. Their way of thinking is Jesus Christ. I mean, it's funny that I use the term Jesus Christ to describe it when so much of it does go back to this bizarre, clinically insane adherence to a 2,000-year-old book that was written by people who were afraid of the freaking sun.
The video of the little boy comes to us from Indiana. Indiana. I stand totally corrected. I wanted to blame the South for that, but state. It's a very red state. Blood red state. We got to take one last quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
We're back. We're going to continue on this discussion about these pastors. I mean, homophobic pastors. I mean, I don't even know if homophobia is a strong enough word to describe these guys. But, I mean, it continues. I mean, you know, where is it? Kansas. Pastor says gays should be put to death. Curtis,
is that the Judgment Night soundtrack, by the way?
Yes.
That you just played? Freaking great album. Yeah.
That's Run DMC and Living Color. Yeah. Me, myself, and my microphone.
That's what I thought. I mean, it's funny. I feel bad for not recognizing it immediately, but yeah, that was such an incredible record.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, it was all like pairing up of different bands. I think
hip hop artists and alternative rock bands at the time.
Yeah. Like there was one pairing of Helmet and House of Pain.
Helmet and House of Pain was great. Just Another Victim. Yeah. Booyah Tribe and Faith No More.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. That's a great track.
Yep.
You heard this rant from this state senator in Illinois. I don't know if you've seen this.
I saw you post it on your site.
Yeah. This is funny. This is a guy just completely losing his shpadoinkle. His name is Mike Boast. He's a Republican and an Illinois state senator. You know, I think a lot of these guys, and we've seen this sort of thing before, a lot of these guys see the outrage in the Tea Party, and they're just, like, miming it. Like, they're trying to, like, capitalize on the screechy outrage from the Tea Party. This is a state senator named Mike Boast.
Total power in one person's hands. Not the American way. These damn bills that come out here all the damn time come out here at the last second, and I gotta try to figure out how to vote for my people!
The funny thing about it is he throws his papers up and then tries to punch the papers in midair and totally whiffs.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Hilarious.
You should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm sick of it. Every year we give power to one person. It was not made that way in the Constitution. He was around when it was written. Now we pass rules that stop each one of us. Enough! I feel like somebody trying to be released from Egypt. Let my people go!
That's like drama queen.
Every commenter on Huffington Post right there. Right there.
Exactly, yeah.
And he continued by saying this.
Why am I out of
Oh, wait, that's... That's Mel Gibson, sorry.
Who wants lunch?
Hooray!
God, I love that.
So, it's just everyone's losing their minds.
Sure.
Black guy becomes president and everyone loses their shit.
That's exactly what it is, too. It's all Barack Obama's fault. It all happened on his watch.
Kansas pastor tells his church, oh, so you're saying we shouldn't go out and start killing them? No, I'm saying the government should. They won't, but they should. Indiana pastor says gay marriage leads to abuse of children. Quote, a decision to allow same-sex marriage.
The irony after you just played that clip of that kid.
Yeah. God. A decision to allow same-sex marriages today lays the foundation for the definition of marriage to become silly putty tomorrow, capable of endless reshaping in the future, says Pastor Paul Brewster. That, in turn, is a recipe for children to be made victims of all sorts of abuse and the welfare of our society to receive a fatal blow.
Shut up.
Maryland pastor says his flesh likes the idea of killing gays. Here's my favorite name of the week. Dennis Leatherman shouts.
Thank you for that.
Kill them all, right? I will be very honest with you. My flesh kind of likes that idea, but it grieves the Holy Spirit. It violates Scripture. So I'd love to do it, but, you know, it's kind of against the Holy Spirit.
I'm starting to think that we should actually kind of take their advice and really fence off a good portion of the southern United States and call that a concentration camp.
You know, I really believe, though, that they're doing that themselves. I mean, we've talked about this before. I really think that they're starting to wall themselves off. I think they're creating like almost like an ideological Berlin Wall where there are certain states where it's going to be hospitable only for white Christians, mostly white Christian men.
Right.
And everyone else is kind of going to be second class citizens. And
I believe that. That's one of the reasons that they are constantly pushing for states' rights.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's only a matter of time, I think, before they're just going to so marginalize themselves. You know, I was thinking about Texas that way, too. Like Austin is like Berlin in Texas.
Exactly.
Pastor advocates child abuse on gay children. Sean Harris says if a son shows what is perceived as effeminate behavior, a parent should, quote, squash that like a cockroach.
And if they
see their son, quote, dropping the limp wrist, you walk over there and crack that wrist. Man up, give him a good punch.
Yeah, advocating child abuse.
So there you go.
You know, this getting back to what you were just saying a minute ago. Do you know what Christian Exodus is?
Vaguely.
Have you heard of that? It's a movement. It really hasn't gathered too much steam, but it's a movement to basically exactly what you said, to move white Christians into South Carolina. The idea being that basically that state would become their stronghold.
I see.
And I think they've got like so far like 75 people in total have moved. I mean, this is, you know, this is something I actually wrote about like a couple of years ago. I haven't checked up on it since to see how the big restructuring is going. But it's exactly what you describe. I mean, they're essentially saying, well, you know what, we're going to go into this one state and we're going to take it over, you know, and their plan is to sort of, you know, it's sad because it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it's actually true. Their plan is to sort of start winning elections at the very local level and eventually rise up into powerful positions within the state and then essentially make their own laws.
Yeah.
You know, well, laws that are very friendly toward the crap that they want.
Well, they actually believe that there is a possibility to kind of grow the culture war into what would essentially amount to be a second secession, like a second civil war kind of scenario.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and
you know, for all of the crap that these Christian pastors prattle off about how, you know, the homosexuals, it's always about how they endanger children. You know, they're endangering children. You know, I saw Jesus Camp. And if you haven't seen that, that's terrifying. That to me is child abuse. Sitting there and you know, basically scaring the crap out of your kid, telling him or her that you know, you're going to hell if you don't, you know, bow down to the freaking Holy Spirit. And I mean, and that's where all of this comes. It all stems from that. It all stems from this, you know, people always, you know, not always, but a lot of times give me crap about my very sort of anti-religious stance. And, you know, and it comes from the fact that there are people who their adherence to this philosophy has created this monstrous subculture within our own culture. You know, a group of people who think that there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know what, you should kill gay people.
Yeah. And I want to
insane.
I just want to call BS on this ridiculous old wives tale from, you know, that goes back. Well, it's, you know, almost as old as civilization that automatically assumes because there are gay pedophiles that there are more gay pedophiles than straight pedophiles, which is untrue. There are way more straight pedophiles, way more straight child abusers than gay child abusers. So look, I mean, there's no correlation there. And meanwhile, you know, I'm looking at these quotes here on the screen. Indiana pastor says gay marriage leads to abuse of children. And then I pop down here and here's another pastor advocating abusing children.
Of course.
You know, saying that we should give him a good punch.
Well, because in his mind, he's not abusing the child. In his mind, what he's doing is protecting the child from eternal hell.
Yeah.
So he's actually saving that kid.
It's a twisted, twisted, twisted world.
Of course it is. But it's people who, you know, I'm sorry. I really don't mean to just harp on it as religion, but it is. It's people who believe a freaking fairy tale. Mm-hmm. And they have staked their entire lives on this, on something without a shred of evidence.
And, you know, I was kind of trying to peel away the layers of this onion and get to the heart of why especially men are so homophobic. And of course there are the biblical aspects of all this going back to Leviticus and, you know, all the harrowing things that happen in Leviticus, not only just to gay people, but also women and just all varieties of things, you know, terrible, terrible punishments if you do certain things, touching skin of a pig or planting two crops side by side and all those, you know, ridiculous things. And they throw gay people in there, too. And then, you know, but there's that side of it. But then I want to get inside. I'd like to know the mindset of a typical homophobe. And I think it has to do with this. I think a lot of guys are just worried that if they see a couple of gay guys and they see a couple of gay guys maybe kissing or holding hands, that they're going to see it and it's going to move. It's going to be like George Costanza in that episode. It's like, it moved. What does that mean? Oh, I guess I could be, you know, and yeah. I just.
Well,
I,
they are definitely threatened by it. It's a threat to the masculinity that they hold so dear. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And so I think they kind of feel like they'll somehow discover and that will somehow turn them gay. Like they can suddenly then become gay. And, you know, certainly there's
right. And through that sort of that fear out comes the revulsion that then forces them to act out and punch that down.
That's right. That's right. Because
because nothing proves that you're not gay, like going and beating the crap out of somebody or ranting angrily.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that kind of. I mean, fighting and throwing down.
It's funny because I actually know gay guys who I wouldn't cross for anything in the world because they'd beat the crap out of me.
Sure, sure. I mean, there's just so many stereotypes. There's so many false ideas and weird kind of misperceptions and biases and just old wives' tales, you know.
Of course.
You know, and we've all heard it. We've all heard homophobes, people who we like, friends who actually don't get it. They don't understand. They're still buying these old outdated notions like, well, they want to come over to me and they want to try to convert me. And, you know, it's you. I don't want to see it. I don't want to get away. Don't try to.
Actually, I do know quite a few gay guys who pride themselves on converting straight men. No, if it makes you if it makes you feel any better.
They what? They do?
Oh, are you kidding me? I know. Oh, my God. I can name four gay guys I know off the top of my head who sort of pride themselves on, you know, being somewhat predatory. But that never bothered me. It just shows, yeah, good for you, man. If you're that confident, have at it.
So they actually were able to, quote unquote, convert someone.
Oh, no, not convert. You know, get that person to have a gay experience or whatever. I mean, holy crap. Once again, I refuse to name names because a couple of them are actually pretty well known. But no, you know, there's like every other type of human being, there are different types of gay people. Yeah. You know, it's pigeonholing them as one particular personality is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and of course, we see all these special Christian-based programs that try to actually convert gay people into straight men. And some of the videos are so disturbing to watch.
Yeah, there's actually
a push
here in California to ban that whatever the hell you call it, the therapy that is supposed to turn you straight in kids under 18.
Yeah, and it's creepy stuff. I mean, I've seen some of the videos. It's like, you know, they like give you like couch cushions and you beat the couch cushions with a tennis racket or something.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
And then there's like a weird kind of like fetal position hugging thing where, I don't know. It's really, really disturbing. So, and of course, you can't really change who someone is. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, I'm going to no sooner be converted to being a gay man than a gay man is going to be converted into being straight. It just doesn't, it's a false idea.
And, you know, that's the interesting thing. That's the easiest argument to make against that. Whenever somebody says, well, I can make somebody straight. Okay, can I make you gay? You know, can a gay person make you gay?
Right. Well, so we didn't get to, I think we only got to half of what I want to talk about. So we're going to talk about some more things on this and other topics during the after party tomorrow. So you want to subscribe to the after party if you want to get the full scoop and the full scope of what we had intended to talk about on the free show, but didn't have enough time for it. That includes the unhinged rant of the week.
Oh, that was great. I saw that.
Got to look at some polling numbers and a special book that's coming out.
Oh, by the way, I just thought of this right now. I think that the if there's a movie character you're thinking of to sum up, you know, your theory on why straight men hate gay men or whatever the hell that reasoning is, Chris Cooper in American Beauty.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. We'll see you tomorrow in the after party.
See you.